This week, with a heavy heart, great sadness, and a lonely microphone, we find ourselves having to manage without the manager. Everybody, and welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 534. My name is Mark, on rare occasions known as the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, and I'm here to bring you the show where we talk about Android apps, Android hardware, Switch, gaming, whatever else happens to cross your minds. And of course, here with me tonight is the great one, the grand poobah of the Podnuts Network, door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin. Hey, Steve, how you doing? Steve. Hey. I've never called you Steve in my life. Where did that come from? Wow.
I'm not going to say I know where. When people call me Steve, I typically ignore them, especially when I'm at work. Yeah, I'll just say, Mark, this has been among the worst weeks of my adult life. I basically held my mom's hand, and then 5 seconds later, she was dead. That really hurt as an adult. I've had personal things back and forth, but literally hours after I recorded the last Android App Addicts, I got a message from Eric's wife, said that he passed on. I know he was in ridiculous pain, a beyond ridiculous kind of pain. So I try to take solace in the fact, well, he's not in pain right now. But there is no, there's no feeling good about stuff, except, we always try to tell ourselves we should celebrate the life that happened. And it's really difficult to do. But I will say I had a hell of a lot of fun with him every single time we met, every single time we got to together.
I didn't know Eric as long as you did, and I never met him in person. He was just a guy on the other end of the camera. But in the years-ish, yeah, I think a couple of years that we worked together on this show, I definitely grew to think of him as a friend, and my heart grieved when he was in pain, and it grieves for his family now that he's gone. And I don't, there's not a whole lot we can say about that. But Eric, we love you. We're gonna miss you.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and so basically every time I get ready to hit record and do a show, he's going to go through my head, because he told me at one point in time before a recording of this show, I'm going to paraphrase, and I'm sure I'm making it sound better than it actually did, but he basically said, Dor, you basically helped me live my dreams. When I was younger, I always wanted to be on public radio. I wanted to be a DJ. I wanted to be a personality. And what you and Steve did with Podnuts enabled me to reach more people than I ever could have on one of my local stations. I honestly think it's a disservice if we don't do a show. That's my honest opinion. And I know he loved podcasting, and I know that, he would definitely enjoy the next show. So we are going to keep moving forward, keep doing shows. This weekend, I'm going to publish this show early. I typically don't publish this show till Sunday night. I'm going to publish it tonight, Thursday night, this Saturday at noon on April the 13th through Sunday the 14th noon. I'm going to attempt a 24-hour live stream where I'm going to try to get Eric and his family a little bit more money, a little bit more recognition of just what he meant to Podnuts and what he meant to the community at large. Because that's the thing. Eric was, first and foremost, a Podnutsian, a community member. He enjoyed emails from people. He enjoyed communicating with people. Whenever we went to events, he just enjoyed hanging out with random people and talking.
I don't have anything to follow up with on that. And my condolences to you on passing of your mother. That's another thing. People say the dumbest things around death. It's because we don't know what to say.
It is that, and people always want to say the nicest possible things. And it's natural. We do that. But I will say Eric was among the nicest guys I know. But at the same time, when people weren't looking and it was just two people, he would happily make fun of other people because it was funny. But he like wouldn't do it to other people's faces because he was a gentleman, is what I'll say. we have to talk about apps. We have to talk about Android. We have to talk about those things. The one link I wanted to mention, just because it was definitely a Eric type topic, I'll say, it's a Lifehacker article, which I'm sure if Eric would have seen, he would have, I don't want to say laughed at, but he would have like shrugged and said, well, not really. It's a article telling you how to turn any Android smartphone into a Google Pixel device, which of course it can't do. Being a Pixel device is much, much, much more than just a couple applications.
Yeah, how to turn any Android phone into a Google Pixel device is replace all the hardware.
You take the device, you then put it on Swappa, you sell it, you take that money, and then go buy a Pixel. That's how you can turn it into a Pixel device. But I will say this is at least an interesting read. They go through some of the finer points, what makes a Pixel a Pixel. They do point out that some of the native Pixel apps have been ported to run on other hardware. So you can definitely get a Pixel type feel of the interface, but it's about, you know, it's not the real thing. You're not going to get all the way there without a real Pixel device. And you can get now Pixel 2 devices for, I want to say, about $100 to $120. So it isn't like they're expensive. To do this to your device, in my opinion, is like a half-hearted thing. You could do so much better.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to go through this trouble, don't use the Pixel launcher. There are better launchers, you know. But anyway, it's a thing.
Well, yeah, and I do believe most of the people who run a Pixel are people who know Android, and I would also heavily suspect a very large percentage of them would replace the launcher at least once to see if they could get something better.
Yeah, all right.
Well, and then I had another link here that I thought you might be interested in, Mark. And, of course, the article on BGR calls it a huge leak, shows us what the OnePlus 7 Pro that we didn't see coming. So apparently with this OnePlus 7, they're literally going to have multiple versions of the phone. If that isn't, you know, the true sign of making it as a hardware vendor where you can have the high end versions and low end versions, I don't know what it's going to take to be recognized as like as a flagship provider type of company. One of the stats that I saw that just, wow. Okay. Yeah. Curved screen, big, huge screen. I believe it was a pop-up selfie camera, Snapdragon 855, 8 gigs of RAM and 256 gigabyte of internal storage. If you need more storage than that, you have a serious problem.
So here's my thoughts on this. I am a fan of the OnePlus. I've owned between myself and my wife three of them over the years. Their strength is being a quality phone at a reasonable price, but they seem to be moving into the premium phone at the premium price market. I don't think we need another premium phone, honestly, and we don't need another $1,000 phone. And also, I don't trust leaks ever. The leaks are one of two things. They're lies or they're press releases by a different name. So yes. I don't trust this information. But if it's true, and of course they're not mentioning price, this is going to be a $1,000 phone. Just from the specs they've got in it, it kind of has to be. And I think that if that's the case, it's OnePlus losing their way a little bit. What made them good was that they produce quality phones, not the best phones on the market, but quality phones at a reasonable price. And I just think that competing for the top tier is just a mistake.
Yeah. I don't want to say that we already have too many big companies, but companies like Samsung only have one way to go, and that's down. Maybe they can see something in the tea leaves. Maybe they can see the fact that HTC and LG are indeed going to disappear by the end of the year. Maybe they think they can make inroads with a premier flagship type device that is really expensive in India or someplace. I don't know. But in the United States, I can't see them even appearing is more of than a blip on the screen, because yes, I agree. This, there's no doubt. If this phone is a penny under $1,000, I'll be shocked. So hopefully it's a device that they sell in other markets, but in the US market, I hope they try to maintain that fair priced, good quality, good options mobile device. But
because the only reason $1,000 phones sell is because people think they're getting it cheaper through their carrier. You know, they get their $25 a month for the rest of your life deal, and they think it's a good deal. But OnePlus isn't going to be able to work those deals with the carriers. So they're going to be a $1,000 phone with no subsidy, and well, that's just not going to work.
Well, they have a deal with one carrier, and that's T-Mobile, and that's it. I don't know if they're going to be able to, like, maintain that relationship. Because right now you can get a OnePlus 6 from T-Mobile on a payment plan. I don't know if they're going to be able to keep it up, is what I'll say. But either way, I mean, yes, it's a good-looking device. It better be for that much money. 256 gigs of RAM. Who on this planet genuinely needs 256 gig of RAM? And I'll tell you, there's a person with a problem. Because I'm the guy that uses 60 plus gigs of data a month. I know what problems look like.
Yeah, I could. The only thing I could think of for that would be VR applications. I don't know anything else that could make use of that much RAM.
Well, the 8 gigs of RAM is just for fluidity. You know, after like 4, that's all you really get out of it. Fluidity. Things should be a little bit snappier. Things should remain in RAM a little bit longer. But that's really all you're going to get. The storage, I don't know. I mean, you want to download like a day's worth of YouTube videos or something? I don't know.
Well, so there's RAM and there's storage, right? So most phones today don't have 256 gigs of storage. And this is talking about 256 gigs of RAM. So it could hold the entire contents of your phone in RAM.
No. I'm sorry.
Okay. Did you use the wrong word?
Yes, I did. Okay. 256 gig of storage.
Okay. Well, that I can. All right. I'm not quite as down on that. That's just the next step.
It is, but it's still, I mean, it's insane. I mean, it's insane to think. I mean, I have a phone with like 16 gig of RAM of storage, and I don't have to be crazy careful to run out of space. And I think I'm a little bit liberal on what I download, but 256 gigs of storage means, I mean, I guess you never have to worry about it or think about it.
So this next one, I'm glad you put the article up there because I wanted to go there next myself. We've been talking for years in the tech community about Amazon drone delivery services, and Google comes out of the woodworks and says, "Nah, we'll do that first. We'll do it in Australia, and what we're going to bring to you is Grubhub." So this is food delivery by a drone. What is it? I'm looking at 12. Rotors, so it's not a quadcopter, it's a dodecacopter. I'm excited about this. This is the future of stuff, and I love that they're doing it out in the Australian desert instead of populated cities. It's a great test place, so I'm excited about this.
Yeah, and I mean, look, we all know that you're going to have people who are going to be sitting on their rooftop with a electro gun or a net gun or whatever, thinking, "Oh, that looks like Chinese food," and then, you know, want to shoot it down so they can take it for themselves. It's going to happen. We all know that. So having it in Australia, where I believe they banned all guns, is a smart idea. Of course, they already found some locals who complained and said it was too loud. Of course, you're going to find people complaining. But all that matters is it safe? Does it? Because, you know, you don't have to worry about guys or girls delivering food and getting robbed. So is it safer? Okay. Does it save them a little bit of money? Okay. Does it save them a little bit of money in insurance liability? Okay. Is the food going to come to the house maybe even hotter than before? Well, okay. What's the downside? If it's a little noisy, I mean, then you know it's coming, I guess.
Right. It's a short-term noise. That will be a problem when there are dozens of drones constantly in the air. And that is the future. That we're going to be there. All UPS and those people are not going to be replaced, but they will certainly have a lot of their business cut in on by drone deliveries. And noise is going to be an issue. And I don't know how you make quiet. I mean, you've got to move air, and the movement of air creates sound. So I don't know how you make it quiet, but that's what we have engineers for.
Well, and the whole thing to me is all that really happens is it has to be quieter. It doesn't have to be quiet, just quieter. So it isn't crazy loud kind of thing.
I mean, the conspiracy spooks say that we have silent black helicopters. So we just need to ask the government how they do that, and problem solved.
Oh, well, then it's easy.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to in my lifetime. I'm not going to make any predictions, but in my lifetime, within the next 20 to 30 to 40 years, this will not only be a thing that happens, it'll be commonplace. Because all the pieces are there. All the GPS is there, the autonomy is there, the craft itself is there. The thing that might be missing is battery, because that's a big drone I'm looking at in this picture. And so it's going to have a pretty short shelf life and carrying capacity. You know, it says it'll deliver, you know, food and drink. I wonder if it could deliver enough food for my family of five.
Well, worst case scenario, they send two.
Good point. Good point.
I mean, you know, there's always a way around it. And yeah, I do believe it's going to be one of those things. I hate to say it, Mark. It's like SpaceX. They just launched tonight and I'm watching SpaceX. And on the MRP Discord server, we were talking and it's like, does anybody realize that in like any day now, there's going to be a magic flip that gets switched where all of a sudden it's normal to have these private companies competing to bring the price down, to launch things in space and to do stuff. We're just going to take it for granted. And it's going to happen quick. I think the same thing is going to happen with like the drone thing. It might take, you know, 5 years. I don't even know. But then all of a sudden it's going to be like normal, natural. It's the way it's always been. And we're not going to think anything about it. And then once in a while you hear about a stupid kid who was trying to throw rocks at it or something. But it's just going to be there. It's just going to be what we do.
Dang it. Sorry. I hate it when websites play ads. You won't hear that in the recording, but I just blew Dor's ears off with stupid website ad that made sound.
It's okay. It could have been worse.
Yeah, the march of technology is the fantasy becoming commonplace. You know, every now and then,
yeah.
I like to sort of break the things that I do down into their basic elements, right? So I don't look up something on Google using voice search. I talk to the magic slab of glass in my hand and it gives me the answers. Because I like to keep that kind of wonder. You need to realize that's exactly what's happening. You have a magic slab of glass in your hand. You are speaking to it, asking it questions. It knows the answers and gives them back to you. That now seems commonplace. That was witchcraft not too long ago. And so, yeah, private space flight, drone deliveries, these sort of things will become commonplace. They are imaginary today, but they will be commonplace because that's what technology does. And
I didn't bookmark it. Do you want to then talk about the magic slab of glass and the Amazon employees that are secretly listening to recordings?
Sure, we can talk about that.
Well, it's like a cornerstone on a building. You know, it's the basis of the building. Everything comes out from there. I've been saying now off and on for like 2 years, there's no such thing as AI. You know, there are humans always in the mix, manipulating, doing things to ensure that it works right. It's like, I can't remember the guy's name. He was basically going about doctors and AI. And the real truth is AIs are not going to make doctors obsolete. Computers and AI are going to make doctors better. They're going to allow doctors to focus on what doctors are good at and then just let the computers focus on what they're good at. It's a cooperative kind of thing. Unfortunately, that means when you say something to your Amazon Echo and it doesn't understand you, a human's going to say, what did they say? Oh, they meant this, and type it into their interface. So then next time somebody says it, the whole system will then understand it better. And to have a device like this and to expect people to not be listening to it is, I don't know, naive?
Naive is a good word. Foolish. It's got to be tweaked. And I don't know. I don't know if I signed a user agreement when I plugged my Echo in. I may have when I activated it. But I'm sure somewhere in that thing where I clicked the thing and said, yes, I've read that I didn't read, it says something like your voice recordings will be listened to, because that's just, that's good engineering. That's good problem solving. I'm not bothered by that at all. My Amazon device, I almost said the word, mishears a lot of things it thinks is its name. I think probably some sample of that is listened to by a person so that they can tweak the algorithm, right? And you know, it will ask me from time to time, does that answer your question? Almost always the answer to that is no, it didn't. And I'm sure that triggers something where somebody goes and listens to that. That doesn't bother me at all. I'm not the privacy Nazi that a lot of other tech guys are. I'm fine with that. It's part of the bargain.
Well, and here's the real gimmick that a lot of people aren't saying. I only heard one guy say it, and it was the podcast Tech Meme. I don't know, there's something in his voice. I don't know like what city he's from, but there's something in his voice that just irks me just a touch. But he's a smart fella.
Well, it's because you're listening to it at 8X. If you slowed it down, it wouldn't bother you so much.
Fair point. But he said, I don't understand why people are really complaining about this, kind of, because you, as a Amazon user or a Google user, have free range access to go into the system and hear everything that it's recorded, and you have the option to delete them. So as a user, if you think you can just put it in the middle of the room, hit a magic button, and all your cares and worries disappear, and you don't have to become at least a little bit of a administrator on the back end to see what's going on, I hate to say you get what you deserve, but you kind of get what you deserve.
See, I do that in my household because I have an Echo device in my children's rooms, and I'm not spying on them, but I want to understand how my children interact with that device. And so I periodically browse those things, and just to make sure that I call that parenting. You know, maybe other people have a different opinion on that, but I want to understand how my children are interacting with the wider world around them. And this internet terminal, that's what an Echo is. This internet terminal in their room, I need to know the kinds of interactions they're having with it. And, I do listen to those things, and, you know, they're almost always harmless.
Well, I'll say, speaking of that, Mark, both of my kids, my 11-year-old and 13-year-old, going to be 14-year-old, both of them made fun of me because I said, okay, Schmoogle, send text message to my wife's name, blah, 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 blah. And then it said the message back to me, and it said, do you want to send it? And I said, yes, please, or send it, please, something like that. I can't remember. And they were like, why would you say please to it? What's wrong with you? It's a computer, Dad. And I said, look, when I make what I say take a longer time to say, and there's more for the computer to take in, the better it understands me. Trust me. I've been doing this for like over a year with this device. Whenever I just say send it or yes, it doesn't work a large amount of the time. When I take the time to say send it, please, it's easier for it to calibrate in on what I'm saying. And my oldest son was like, oh, you have a reason for everything, don't you?
Yes. That's an excellent point. I had not considered that in the past, but that is actually a very good point. The more data you give it, the more likely you are to get good results.
Well, and I think it's easier for it to then figure out where's the beginning and end. And if it notices the word please, then it can say, okay, that was clearly the word please, so maybe I can better now understand what was said before it. Yeah. I don't know. The next link in the notes I want to bring up, because here's the gimmick, Mark. I was honestly thinking this Huawei P20 Lite from Sir Kevin McLaughlin, it's running really good. I've actually dropped it once or twice. I cracked the glass screen protector, not the screen, and I replaced that. It's fine. I have a TPU case on it, so it's all good. But I was honestly starting to think that my next phone might be a Xiaomi phone instead of a Huawei phone, because I'm thinking, you know, Huawei might be getting a little bit too big, and I'm like the underdog kind of guy. Like after my Seattle Seahawks won the Super Bowl, I don't watch football anymore. What's the point? My team already won it all. Kind of mentality. And then I saw this on CNN Business, and I do like when non-traditional tech sites report on tech things, because that tells me that, you know, they're bleeding over into other avenues of news. And it was the founder of ShowMe got nearly a $1 billion bonus this year. And he's basically donating the entire after taxes taken out, something like, I want to say it was $700 million, donating it all to charity. He's a Chinese company. I am sure doing this is going to definitely make the Chinese government feel better about him and his company doing well. So I'm sure it's just as much of a PR move as it is a genuine charity move. There is the charity isn't mentioned that they're giving it to. It hasn't been figured out yet, they said. But we don't hear Tim Cook donating anything at all. We don't hear Jeff Bezos donating anything. Now, don't get me wrong. They create jobs. Fan-diddly-tastic. That's great. People in this country can get employment and get work. Great. Great. But when the company's doing so damn good that literally they give the guy a $1 billion bonus and then he gives it away, that's a little bit better. Doing just a little bit better is what I'll say.
That's a crap ton of money. I'm having a hard time even processing $1 billion.
Well, that's how good ShowMe has done this last year. Now, here's the real gimmick. They're almost pulling a Samsung or a Sony, because while they do make really nice phones, they're not cheap. Let me tell you, they're mostly not cheap. They're really nice phones. I want to say they said almost 40% of the profits from this year alone came from washing machines. And it's because they make really small, compact washing machines that are very affordable in price. So they sold $1 billion of them or whatever kind of thing. And a lot of times when they come out with a new product, they literally take it and put it on like a crowdfunding type site almost, where they say, okay, this first run, we're only going to be able to make 500,000 of these. So first come, first serve kind of thing. And people go blitzkrieg to go buy it. It isn't like you just walk into a Best Buy and pick it up. So to me, these guys are, they have the marketing manipulation machine down to a science. They're doing it really well, and it wouldn't shock me if in 2 or 3 years from now, these guys are among the richest companies in the world.
I wonder if there's some sort of social pressure for that, in a communist country where the one that stands out is more likely to be the one that gets pushed back down. I wonder if there was more to that than simple altruism.
Well, dare I say, it wouldn't shock me if there's also a little bit of national pride involved. But with that said, companies like Tesla are, people in China lust after Teslas. But I do think that part of it is, this is a national thing. And to be honest, if I'm in China and I buy one of their devices and then I hear this guy's donating $1 billion and it might help my cousin's family or whatever in some shape, way, or form, I'm going to go out of my way now to spend even more money. Maybe it's just me.
I don't know what the Chinese economy looks like in terms of what the average man can spend on that sort of stuff. But anyway, goodness should be pointed out, and donating $1 billion, even if you're already a billionaire, that's something that deserves being pointed out.
And of course he is. Right now they believe he has a net worth of around $13 billion. But still, he donated 1/13 of his income, or his value, his worth.
Value, yeah. I mean, at that point, you could say that $1 billion wouldn't change his life. When you're already a billionaire, adding another billion doesn't change your life. But still, he gave away $961 million, according to this article, right, or is planning to. What a great thing to do. I would love to be in a position to be able to give away that much money.
Right. Where instead, he could have said to himself, self, I want to go to outer space, like some other rich people do. You know what I mean? But he didn't. And yes, I did listen to the last Geek Rant, Mark. And I will say, before 1920, I can't remember the exact year, total government expenditure was around 3% of GPA, of the gross product, where philanthropy was insanely more common. I would love for this culture we have in the United States actually prize and value supporting other people and not just, hey, look at my new Tesla kind of mentality. And it's been proven. I hate saying it like this, but it's a scientific fact. There's been many studies that show, there's been many meta studies, which are studies of studies that show 200,000 plus people involved in these groups, that when you give something to somebody else, you feel just as good as the person that got it. So yes, I would love to be able to literally, walk into a store and pay off people's Christmas expenditures 1 year or something like that. You know what I mean? Just even the little things, it just makes you feel good.
Yeah, what Dora's referring to is the latest episode of the Geek Rant. I mentioned that my retirement goal is not to live, in a posh environment or travel to the beach or whatever. What I'm saving for, what I'm trying to bring a reality, is to have enough money that my retirement is paying off other people's debts, mortgages in particular. That I was inspired by the housing crash of 2008, of how people, through really no fault of their own, because the system failed them, mm-hmm. We're in situations where, like, my church right now has a $6 million debt you could point to all sorts of mistakes they made, but the system failed the people back then. And I know that there are a lot of people like that, and I'd love to be able to just pay off mortgages for people. What a great gift that would be. What a great way to spend my retirement that would be.
Yeah, and people and organizations aren't supposed to be experts. The experts are supposed to look out for the people and not just look at ways to make themselves more money. And that's what I think was part of the thing that happened. People in the middle just got too greedy.
Yeah.
And, the government didn't help. Surprise!
Imagine that.
Imagine that. Do you want to read one of these emails, Mark?
I can do that, assuming my page loads. So I'm going to read one from a fellow named Ned. It's a long one, so strap in. Says, greetings, Podnux folks. I'm Ned Kennedy, CEO, co-founder, janitor of a New York City-based startup called Laughable. First off, and most important, I'm so sorry about Eric. As an AAA listener, I was saddened to hear about his diagnosis on the show a couple of weeks ago, and even more saddened to hear about his passing yesterday. If this development means you're unable to pay much attention to this email, well, of course, we'll totally understand. On to the way less important stuff, just in case you're curious. I wanted to let you know about our just-launched Android app, Laughable-Podcasts and Comedy. I'm sure we'll put the link to that in the notes. We were especially eager to give you a heads up on this, given Steve's very timely monologue about podcast apps on this week's episode. And he quotes you, virtually every podcast playing app on every platform is virtually identical. We would agree with that for the most part, but would humbly suggest that Laughable is the first podcast app to take a radically different, we think better, approach. You can subscribe not just to shows, but to individual people and listen to their podcast appearances or as a host or as a guest. While our specialty is comedy/comedians, we leverage this artist subscription feature for influential people across any and all areas of interest, music, tech, journalism, acting, activism, and more. For example, we make all the Podnut shows available, and here is Steve's Laughable profile. I question whether he's actually a listener if he keeps calling you Steve, but anyway.
Well,
once you subscribe to him, you'll automatically get the future episodes he's on as a host or a guest in your subscription feed, which looks like this. He's got a picture there. We've only been live on Google Play for a couple of weeks and already have 130 reviews, nearly all of which are glowing. The average rating is 4.9 out of 5 stars. Anyway, just wanted to make you aware of our offering in case you find it worth discussing on AAA or any other Podnuts podcast. I would really be happy to speak with either on or off the record on any questions you might have. Know you look at apps very analytically, not just from a product angle, but also from a business one, etc. All stuff I love geeking out on. Thanks for your consideration, and once more, a sincere condolences about Eric. I like that concept, the idea of subscribing to a person.
Well, here's what he and they looked past. When I'm focusing on these conglomerate delete expletive companies who just want to take advantage of consumers and monetize in every shape, way, or form, he did what early podcasters did and shoot for the niche. Just think, what does this section of podcast listeners need? And really, it's the connection to people. I always said there's two reasons people listen to a podcast. There's the reason they tell somebody else to listen, like, hey, listen to AAA. They talk about Android apps. But then there's the real reason that they listen, because they like to hear Mark and Dor talk about stuff, kind of thing. So he's went on that second part and said, I want to follow these people, which I didn't think of at all. And that's really smart. I got to say, I really like that now. The problem is there's all kinds of comedy. There's Mel Brooks comedy, which is real comedy. And then there's the bad Anchorman guy podcast.
Can't remember Ron Burgundy?
Ron Burgundy. They are not the same thing. So when he says comedy, I'm interested what he personally calls comedy, first off. And I'm honestly tempted to ask him to come on the show, because now I know if he is on this show and people download the app and follow him, then they're going to see this show.
Oh, a little greed there. I like it.
Well, not greed, just taking advantage of a situation.
So I assume he is scraping the standard podcast directories and looking for names. So it would have to be in an episode description or title. It would have to say that, you know, Door to Door Geek or Steve McLaughlin was on the show. That's interesting. I wonder how timely that is. How quickly can they access it? What is their API access like? So yeah, these are questions I'd like to ask him. I am doing this right now. I'm installing this app, and you know, I am a big lover of the Castback app. I helped create that app. I have a special place in my heart for that app, but I'm willing to give this one a try because it is a novel concept that I like. Because I find out sometimes that, you know, these people that I like have a show that I didn't even know they had a show. Maybe a guy I follow on YouTube or somebody like that. So this is an interesting idea. I wonder, you know, do they have to create the profiles? How famous do you have to be to make it on this? There's questions that need to be answered.
Yeah, and I am going to install it because I too am interested in the concept. I really hope he does variable speed playback. I'm just saying. Going to podcasting events, going to podcasting conferences, the one thing I know for sure is the way people believe that they become successful podcast is interview based podcast, period. Number two, everybody knows the best way to get podcast listeners is to have other podcast listeners know about you. So then it's in your best interest to appear on other people's podcasts. So he's literally hitting like that sweet spot of the podcast creator niche. And then if the interface is acceptable and the usage is acceptable, I'm not going to lie, he might be onto something. Two, really quick, two. Timeliness of feed updates doesn't seem to be important. I just went through and added all the feeds to Spotify, which everyone swears is something grand and great, and it is unbelievably slow to pick up on new episodes. It's really not a good ecosystem is what I'm going to say, period. So yeah, I'm going to play with it. I'm going to bang on it. And here's the other thing, Mark. This ecosystem, this system, this developer might be the kind of guy that you might want to introduce to Castback. Maybe there can be some mind melding going on where maybe they could get together and have one greater, better product. I don't know.
I'm not in their database. I'm not searchable. So there must be some sort of profile creation process that goes on, because I'm definitely in tons of directories across the system, but I can't search for myself.
They must have spelled your name wrong.
We'll see.
That's what I guess. Very cool. And the real thing, Ned, is A, thank you for paying attention and knowing that the stuff that happened with Eric. But two, this is the exact kind of thing that we need as a show. Is these type of emails, even if it might not be a great time, it's always the right time.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. Let's since we've sort of broken the seal on apps, want to actually talk about some apps?
I do have a couple. The first one I want to bring, I'm going to admit, it's one of those almost like a so what app. But I will say the auto. I'm trying to remember what they actually called it. It's the AI, the auto completion AI, I believe is what it's actually called. It's what you see in official Gmail is what you saw in inbox, where it would, you would type a word or two and it would try to complete what you were saying and you could accept it and then move on. I believe Android Messenger also just started doing it. But apparently it's literally an open API you can call. So if you don't want to use Google Messenger and you want to use a different messenger, this one is called Pulse SMS Phone Tablet Web by Clinker Apps Incorporated. E for everyone does have in-app purchases. 34,000 reviews, completely free to download, no ads in the app. 4.6 average reviews. Updated April 10th, 2019. 1 million plus installs. Current version 4.7.3.2419. Wow, that's a long version number.
So I'm looking through the thing. It's free to use on your phone. If you want to use it on the web or on other devices, it's $1 a month or $6 a year, or $10 for a one-time purchase. I guess that's a lifetime. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what that means. But so the killer feature here is that you can use it on a web interface or on your tablet or whatever, and that part of it isn't free. I'm okay with that. They've got to buy service space. They've got to buy interfacing with the phone system. So, yeah. And of course, they say it's seriously beautiful.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, there is a server cost that goes on, that kind of thing. So I'm literally okay with that. I will say, when I used Android Messenger, I did appreciate the fact that I could open up my Chromebook and literally see the text messages coming and going. I thought that was cool. I'm not one of those guys that says I want to have a life without Google, but I will say I want a life where I have options. Hypothetically, tomorrow, Google could completely change Android and kill it like they do so many other services, but they could turn around tomorrow and do something that I consider to be drastic and not want to use it anymore. So I would like it if I could have a option that could run from a web interface or from a tablet interface or from hopefully a alternative phone interface and be able to have this kind of auto completion feature. Because you even caught me, Mark, like, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
You sent me an email and I saw the auto reply. I said, yeah, sure. Click it, hit send. And you immediately called me out and said, you just auto completed me.
Yeah, it was the exclamation point. I've never seen Dora use an exclamation point ever. And it said something like, sure, exclamation point. I said, you just auto responded me. And he wrote back, yes, exclamation point.
Yeah, so my goal now is to use exclamation points more often. There so it
makes it more believable. Harder.
Yeah. Okay, this next one, it's not a door thing, is what I'm going to say without a shadow of a doubt. This is called a Cereal Box Beta. And I honestly thought I brought it, but I looked through the notes and I didn't see it. It is a Cereal Box from Cereal Box Books and Reference, T for Teen, 10 reviews, completely free to install, no in-app ads, no in-app purchases, 3.6 average reviews, updated April 9th, 2019, 15 megs in size, 5,000 plus installs, version 2.0.6, Android 5.0 and up. Okay, trying to summarize this into like a little 30-second elevator pitch isn't the easiest thing for me. What this is, it's a platform that allows creators to put out novelettes, I want to say, like smaller books and stories on a platform. So like my son might like a certain topic in reading. Well, then I download this app, I put it on his phone, and all of a sudden he has, you know, a couple hundred books or things he can read that he never heard of before. I do believe that you can actually listen to everything too, but I believe it's not humans doing the speaking. I think it's an automated voice. Or you can, I believe, read this stuff too. I just thought it was interesting enough, different enough. Again, we all know that Amazon and their ebook store rules the roast kind of thing. But I like, again, options, and I thought this was interesting enough.
Okay. I don't know that I actually have any comment on this. It's interesting, I guess.
Well, and it, to me, it says T for Teen. I really do think it really is a more of a teen-focused app, is what I'll say. I don't think this is necessarily the general audience adult type app.
One of the cool features I wish other, like there are some Audible books that do that, is audiobook plus ebook format, and they're synchronized. So you can read or you can listen and it'll remember where you were. Audible calls that whisper sync, and very few of their books are available like that, but it's a neat idea.
Yeah, it is. Here's one, Mark. It isn't an app per se, but it is functionality inside an app. It's on XDA developers. They found basically a hidden setting on the newest Google Play Store that you can enable yourself by turning on developer mode inside of Google Play app. Not on the phone, but in the app itself. And what it allows you to do, it will let you share an application internally. And that's the word, I'm not sure what they mean, internally. So instead of sending somebody a link to an application, you're literally sending somebody the APK. Now, I believe they feel really confident in anything installed on an Android device immediately gets scanned by Play Protect, number one. And number two, it's immediately added to your library if possible, and then it will get its updates through the Google Play Store. So I believe that they're going to maybe reduce the amount of installations by using almost like a torrent-like sharing mechanism in Google Play to share the actual APK, not just a link to the Play Store. But with the use internal, it makes me think it like might only be available inside of inside of like enterprises or something.
So I wonder how they get around sharing of paid apps like that. I guess if it trues up with the Play Store could do just disable that, to remove it from your phone. I mean, that's a thing they can do.
Yeah. There are already tags in apps where, like, if you use AppWare Rabbit, which is one of my more favorite apps to do backup of files of the individual applications, where it will acknowledge that it's a paid app. And then the people do have the option to say, this is a paid app, but you can copy the APK, because they trust that if you install it, you're going to then be prompted to pay their service. But then there are APKs that say, no matter what, you cannot copy us. So I do believe that they are preset tags in the APK that can enable or disable extraction of APK files. So yeah, you know, I will say Google is, I don't want to sound dumb and say that they're ahead of the curve, but I do think that they're doing things a lot better, more forward thinking than a lot of other companies.
They're trying to.
Yeah, I have another app here, Mark, and I am finally copying the apps to the YouTube stream as well. So if you're watching straight on the YouTube app or in YouTube itself, in at least the live chat, you'll see links to the things we're talking about. This one, I know that you've had basically the same app for, I think, like 4 years now that you use for your Do Not Disturb functionality. So I know it's the only way you're going to actively change probably is if the app breaks and doesn't work on a newer version of Android, is what I'm going to guess. So I just wanted to throw this one out there. To be honest, it looked like a really good Do Not Disturb app, but it looks like it really is more geared towards Pi type functionality and Android Pi type features. So it might only be able to work as expected on the newest of the newest Android devices.
So I already have Android Pi, so I'm not sure which of these things are unique features, but some of the things you can toggle on and off, which I use actually other apps that do the same thing. Starred contacts only, so your preferred contacts can reach you. Repeat callers, you can block other sounds like the touch sounds on your phone and media sounds, so you can't accidentally play a podcast in a meeting like I did actually just today. I was reaching my phone, I hit the widget. So that's I don't know that Do Not Disturb is a problem that needed to be solved, but yeah, it's here.
And if you go towards the bottom of the posting, it has a direct Play Store link. I'll say this, it's an extremely colorful interface, like extremely colorful interface. I don't want to say it's like senior citizen approved, but it looks kind of senior citizen approved.
It's a Windows 10 tile style interface.
Metro.
That's the word I couldn't think of. Yes.
And I still love that they got sued by a German grocery store company and had to stop using that name. I do. I really do. I think it's fantastic.
You know, Microsoft has been pushing the Live Tile since Windows 98. Mm-hmm. And they have yet to figure out that nobody actually wants Live Tiles.
I have to believe that there's some lead developer there who just keeps saying, no, you guys don't get it. You guys don't get it. You know, it's the future, or, you know, something else like that.
Whatever. I was going to read an email, but my computer's frozen up. So what's your next tab, Dor?
Well, the next thing I wanted to bring up was honestly a quick piece of hardware. I mentioned last week, again, I kept talking about how good that my earbuds are. And I'll say one other thing I didn't mention is I love the fact that I can have them, my phone sitting down here on the ground floor in my house, go up to the first floor, which, you know, the normal distance between floor and ceiling is 8 feet, Mark, I believe.
That's about right.
Right? Yeah, 8 feet. And then my first floor is a 10-foot ceiling. I can then go to my second floor, and I'm still connected to my phone. I've never had a pair of earbuds be able to do that. I can nearly walk from one side of my building to the other at work and still be connected to these earbuds. With all the computers and with everything else in the office, which I don't understand. I don't know, but it are really good. But these ones were the different ones I talked about. These were $10 more. I always read it as Poop Choice, but obviously the earbuds are not called Poop Choice. They're called Wireless Earbuds Pop Choose, Bluetooth 5.0 Dual 3D Stereo True Wireless Earbuds Deep Bass Mini In-Ear Earphones IPX5 Waterproof headphones with built-in mic, 16-hour playtime. That is a really long name for a pair of headphones. Here's the two gimmicks with these. These are actually waterproof, which I was kind of shocked with having a mic in it. Same little type of carrying cases I have, but here's the gimmick. The buttons on the device are not really buttons. They're touch panels, and you can get an Android app. Install the Android app on your phone, and then you can customize what the buttons do. That's what I don't have on my device. And it's $10 more. If I was buying a brand new pair right now and I didn't have mine, I might actually option for these just because of the dynamic functionality I can get with the buttons on them. And I know two guys that have these, is what I'm going to say. One guy literally said he literally listens while in the shower. I thought I had a problem. Apparently, he has a problem even more.
You know, I had one of those shower speakers, Bluetooth shower speakers, but my wife complained that it woke her up because I'm always showering while she's still asleep. So, yeah, I used to listen to podcasts and ebooks in the shower using that. You may have actually just sold it on me based on that, because if I can get an hour or, well, not an hour, 20 minutes more ebook time in, I'll take that.
Well, and I'll say this. I find it hard to believe you can have an earbud in your ear and be in the shower and still hear it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I will say, here's the good thing. If you buy them from Amazon, you can return them because it's Amazon. I will say I'm pulling a Eric Ardini. I basically completely canceled my Amazon Prime, which everybody I say this to, like at work or whatever, they're like, you did what? Well, why would you do that? Like, it's like doesn't register at all at Fathom at all. And I'm like, well, A, it isn't like I have to buy stuff from Amazon all the time. When I actually price compare, they're typically not the cheapest. So maybe two or three times a year now I buy something from Amazon. And if it costs more than $35, I get free 2-day shipping anyway. And without sounding dumb, I don't hear Jeff Bezos doing anything right by humanity. He might end up doing it, you know, like Bill Gates, he might end up doing fantastic things and then I'll look stupid. Well, I already look a little bit stupid, but he, as of right now, he is not. So I'm not. And honestly, Amazon Video, it sucks. It's horrible. It's not good. Amazon Music, why would you put yourself through that?
I use Amazon Music every day.
And you like it?
I do.
Oh.
It's as good as Pandora, but without the ads.
That's pretty bad. I mean, Google Play, I sit next to my wife while she's using Pandora and I use Google Play. Pandora literally looks like it was built in the days of like Windows 3.1.
Who cares what it looks like? You start a channel and you listen.
Well, and it's customization and everything. It isn't there. And I mean, I just couldn't use it. I tried to use it. And the Amazon storage that you get with Amazon Prime, seems clunky. Is what I'll say at best. I'm sure it works fine, but it looks clunky when I use it. So I figured I can save a couple dollars during the year. And if I end up spending $150 extra dollars a year because I'm shopping at other places, at least I'm doing my due diligence and spreading my money out a little bit is what I say to myself.
I'm really interested in these headphones, but my concern is that earbuds don't stay in my ear.
Yeah, and I saw a pair. I'm going to see if I can go through my history, because I will say that's one thing on Google Android. If you don't know, if you go to the home screen, go to your native Google app, your Google search app, on the bottom, you should have Recents. That is a great way to find things that you saw before and forgot about. There was a pair I did see, Mark. It was wireless Bluetooth earbuds, same shape, but they also had the hook that goes over your ear.
So I have to use the hooks, and even those don't usually stay in. And I would just worry about, you know, I'm walking down the hallway and this thing falls out and I don't think about it. Or the second biggest concern is, because they're so small and because they have that touch thing, I put it in my pocket and butt dial somebody. Those are the two things holding me back from purchasing these.
Well, if you have the case, you put them in the case and close the lid and you ain't got to worry about it. But I will say the hook, I was thinking at least, if it falls out of your ear, it would dangle around. That was like, I was trying to think, you know, positive thoughts about it. And I'm like, at least with the hook, if it pops out, it should just bounce around.
Because, you know, I work at a Cube Farm and I have my headphones. I have a headphone and earbud in all day, every day. And the other one just dangles around my neck. So I like the idea of having two, so that when the battery goes dead on the one, I can pop the other one in. I don't know, for something's holding me back from getting these, but I will remember this, and someday I'm going to pull the trigger on it.
Well, here's the gimmick. I'm really only bringing them to the show, so now they're officially bookmarked. So now I know where to find the link for them whenever I need them. That's the real reason I bring them to the show, Mark. But but I'll say wait at least a week or two, because I have been going kind of blitzkrieg crazy on earbuds and looking at different choices, different options. You know, how close can we get? And it has to have mono mode. If the headphones do not have mono mode, I will not even give them a chance. Because like you, in a Cube Farm, you have to have one ear open to the world. Now, of course, you could pay $200 and get a single or the dual ear bone conducting headphones where you can still hear everything around you. But why would I spend that much money when I can spend $20-$30 and just have mono mode? And the good thing is, it's true mono mode. On the device itself, it will translate anything from stereo to mono. So it isn't like you're only going to hear half a song or whatever. So like, give me like 2 weeks to look around and I'll see what choices I can find. There has to be one out there that would be good and isn't $100.
I have just made peace with the fact that I have apparently mutant ears and no earbuds stay in my ears ever. I mean, if you're watching the video feed, you have seen me push these earphones I'm in. And I have the expensive foam earbuds in there that they're the best that I've found so far, but still, they don't stay.
Yeah, and I guess Craggle's off limits.
Well, you can only do that once. That's the problem.
True, true. Velcro would be too noisy.
It would look like you had ear hair, and that's not a good look for anybody.
I know. Oh, wait, I wasn't supposed to say that.
All right, man, we are over an hour on this show already, so why don't you bring your top two or whatever, and then we'll wrap it up. Empty your tank.
Okay, this next one I'm going to bring was from a listener, SCJ, from the Mattermost and Discord server, Fluid Navigation Gestures. I will say, on the bottom of my screen, On past phones, I've seen burn-in because the navigation bar at the bottom, home, back, and recent wants to always be a different color or a different shade or a different depth of color. So then when you go open up like YouTube full screen, turn it sideways, you would literally see what like screen burn-in kind of thing. I've only seen it on a couple devices, and that alone then makes me say, okay, what can I do as a user to use a different interface to where I won't have that kind of burn-in? And this was the app that he showed me. It's called Fluid Navigation from Francesco Barroso. Personalization, E for everyone, does contain ads, does have in-app purchases, which I will say makes me a touch a bit upset, but 7,500 reviews, 4.6 average reviews, updated March 6, 2019, 4.1 megs in size, 500,000 plus installs, version 1.4.78 requires 5.1 Android and up. So you don't have to have the newest of the newest Android. And that, to be honest, kind of shocked me. I figured you would have to have something very new. If you watch the video, it basically takes the normal navigation buttons on the bottom and it has them like hidden on the bottom. And if you slide up from the bottom in the middle, for instance, you'll get the home button. So this was interesting enough by watching the video to make me at least want to play with it, is what I'm going to say. I'm not going to say one way or the other if this is good or bad. I will say it's different and it's interesting. If you crave more of a full screen experience, I think this might be a actual choice.
What strikes me here is in the reviews, Francisco Barroso says, February 15th, I just updated the app with many bug fixes related to Samsung devices. Please make sure you have the latest version. So just a couple of months ago, this guy was actively working to resolve bugs. I like to see that in an app.
Agree. Very good. The next one I'm going to bring isn't an app because I only have one other app and I don't think it's worthy, is what I'm going to say, to bring to the show. But this one at least caught my attention. We should all know Waze was a Israeli-based company that Google basically bought. They didn't really buy, but they basically bought the company. And really what the plan was, give them enough money so we can share our technology back and forth to make everybody better. So apparently now in Google Maps, it's possible for you to report traffic. I use Google Maps every day, maybe because I use it in Android Auto. I don't know, because I don't see this in my interface to report any type of traffic activity. I took for granted, if Google knows I'm on a 55 mile per hour highway, which they do know now without question, and I'm not moving, it would self-report that I'm in traffic.
Well, they do. I've had this feature for a couple of months in mind, the report feature. And also not just traffic congestion, but speed traps. When I was on my vacation last week, we were driving a couple hundred miles along the way. And couple of times the phone said speed trap ahead. And then when we got past the point where it said speed trap ahead, a dialogue popped up and said, is it still there? Which I think is kind of cool. In both cases, or three cases, it was not still there.
Yeah, see, on Android Auto, I've never seen it.
Yeah, it also, I don't know if you're seeing it yet, but around the same time, they added the speed limit. So on your screen now, the speed limit pops up as you're driving.
Yeah, I've seen that. It doesn't seem like it's on every road that I travel.
Super accurate.
But it's on most of the roads I'm going to travel. I'll say, and I will say, when I'm on a road that I actively know changes speed limits on the same road, it seems like it's like doesn't even assume to know.
Yeah. So the cool thing about Waze was you could wave your hand in front of the phone and it would bring up the report dialogue. This is still a touch thing, which I have issues with that, in that it is potentially unnecessary distraction. But you know, they're making it for the masses, right? I guess that's the point there. But it is a little frustrating to me to have to touch my phone when Google has been so active about voice control everywhere.
Well, it would be nice also if they would at least offer a voice option. Hey Schmoogle, report Crash.
Maybe you can. I haven't tried it.
I don't know.
But well, I actively avoid touching my phone when I'm driving. I understand how addictive these little magic slabs of glass are, and I understand my proclivity to being distracted, and I also understand how dangerous it is to be driving 2.5 tons of steel. So I try to never touch my phone when I'm driving, even to just, you know, fast forward a podcast or whatever. I try to never do that. I have other controls in my vehicle to do that. And this is a little annoying that this particularly very handy feature is only touch enabled. At least that's all I've been able to find.
Yeah, I will say when you're in navigation and you say, okay, Schmoogle, it is different. There's no doubt it's different. It has different things enabled, yes, and different things disabled. So I'm going to give it about more than 50% chance that it might actually work.
What's interesting is, in my experience, the wake word in when you have maps open will not answer general interest questions.
Right.
It's like maybe it's like, you know, you shouldn't need to know this right now. But, you know, if I want to define a word, which I often do when I'm listening to a book, or just ask a general purpose question, it can't do that. I actually have to exit the app, launch the Google app, and then ask the question. So I'm sure that is some intended safety feature there, but it does indicate that they're working on things. Yeah.
Yeah. And I will say I'm a fan of enabling freedom. I'm a fan of having more control. I'm also a fan of living. And I'm a fan of people not running into me. So limiting functionality in such a atmosphere, I'm okay with them doing it intelligently. Yeah.
Since I moved to Atlanta almost 7 years ago, a couple of months now, coming up on 7 years, I've been involved in 4 accidents, all of which I am convinced were some other driver was interacting with their phone. I have been hit 4 times, and each of those times, I'm quite certain that a phone was involved.
Well, I'll go out on a limb and say, if phones didn't exist, you would have still probably got hit 4 times.
Eh, possible.
Because they would have been playing with their lighter or their radio or...
Or putting makeup on. Or,
yeah. And that's the bad thing. You're in a very congested area.
Yeah, and I'm a big target, and apparently people aim for me. I don't know why that works. But.
And doggone it, people like you to hit you.
So if you drive a big red pickup truck in Atlanta, that means please hit me now.
Yeah.
All right. I think that is a fine spate of apps this evening. I haven't been keeping up with them as well as I should have because I've been having PC issues, but I'm going to try to read back. So we had the Laughable app, podcast and comedy by Byway Endeavors, plus SMS phone, tablet web by Clinker Apps Incorporated, Cereal Box by Cereal Box, Fluid Navigation Gestures by Francisco Barroso, of course, Google Maps, the Easy Do Not Disturb, which you got to go to the XDA forums to find, and I think that's it.
That sounds right.
And the Hidden Google Play Developer Settings, which wasn't really an app, but also on the XDA. So there you go. So that is 1, 2, 3, 4 apps and a whole lot of discussion tonight. So I hope you've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it. I've been away for a little while, and I'm glad to be back. It is a little surreal to do this show without Eric. I'll be honest. Eric was here when I came here. I was the third wheel. But we're going to figure out how to do this. We're going to make it happen one way or the other. And I hope you stick with us. Do any final words of wisdom for the evening?
Well, Mark, thank you for everything coming out. Thank all the listeners for all the support. The bad thing about doing podcast is I make connections with people, and sometimes I'm not the first to go. That's a price I think I'm going to be willing to pay, because the time with Eric was unbelievably more satisfying than the dread and sadness I felt from his leaving us. He will not be forgotten, and I encourage everyone, you know, make sure you tell somebody that you love them. Make sure you spend time with people that you care about. And once again, we didn't have to break every 5 minutes for an ad.
There you go. And why did we not have to break every 5 minutes for an ad? Because we do this for nothing. If you'd like us to actually make some money off of it, the way to do that is go to patreon.com/androidappaddicts. And for the next undetermined amount of time, Door has committed to take anything that comes in related to this show or possibly all Podnut shows, and he will send that money to Eric's family to help offset the medical and final expenses for Eric. So if you've ever considered pledging, that now is the time to do that. Patreon.com/AndroidAppAddicts. You'll be supporting Eric one final time. And I can think of no greater tribute than that.
Testify.
All right. I think that's all we have to say. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back later. That's it for this episode of the Android App Addicts Podcast.
My name is Jeff Houch. I am the host of Podnuts, the Computer Repair Podcast, where we take live calls on the air to answer your questions on running and operating your computer repair business. Every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/computer repair podcast live.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.